KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. On Tuesday night, the Bay Bridge's western span was set to be illuminated with 25,000 white lights in what is being billed as the world's largest LED light sculpture. And we're going to talk about this ambitious installation, which was designed by artist Leo Villarreal. And we want to hear from you. What do you think of the Bay Lights, and how does the project stack up against other large-scale public art projects? And that's exactly what it is. And I happened to see it last night with friends, Ron and Barbara George, and I'll tell you, it's spectacular. We've got a couple people here in with us to talk about it. Ben Davis is chairman of the Illuminate the Arts, and he's with us in studio. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Michael.
And Amy Critchett, executive director of Illuminate the Arts, a nonprofit that presents public art, including the Bay Lights, and the scion of Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey. Welcome, Amy.
Good morning.
Good morning to you both. Hi, this. Let's talk about this first with you, Ben, because this was your brainchild. I mean, I heard Gavin Newsom announce that this is Ben's brainchild. Tell us about the genesis.
Well, you know, I like a lot of people, I have a special love for the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. I know the Golden Gate Bridge is gorgeous and it's sort of the world's bridge, but I feel like the Bay Bridge is our bridge.
It's almost a competition, really, about, you know, 75 years. And
I've been, my firm, Words, Pictures, Ideas, has been communicating on the Bay Bridge for years, so I think of it as sort of a co-opetition, you know. They're both gorgeous bridges, but, and you know, there's without question, the Golden Gate Bridge just shines every night and has for 75 years, but before it opened, for 6 months, the Golden Gate Bridge was really the toast of the town. 4 days of celebration, recognized as an engineering marvel, you know, really a moment for America coming together through the depths of the Great Depression. And then 6 months later, this other bridge opened, and the Bay Bridge fell into its current sort of hardworking status, serving us, but sort of falling out of our consciousness. And I just wanted a way to let it shine in our consciousness again for a while.
So how did you find the artist, Leo Villarreal?
You know, divine chance. I was just about to begin an artist search when a friend in San Francisco was on the Arts Commission, Dorca Keene, texted me an image of herself in front of a lighted medallion. And I said, you know, where are you and what is that behind you? And she said, I'm in the San Jose Museum of Art and this is the Leo Villarreal show. And I researched Leo and just got shivers up my spine. I knew this was the guy and I said so to Dorca. And she said, well, I know him. Would you like an introduction? And within a very short amount of time, I was speaking to Leo. And I'll tell you the truth, I never spoke to another artist.
Well, this is the world's largest LED light sculpture, as I said earlier. LED, I didn't know, stands for light-emitting diode, and it's 1.8 miles wide, 500 feet high, 25,000 white LED lights. That's eight times the Eiffel Tower on their 1,000th anniversary. And you, if you've seen it, you may want to comment on it. I just would love to hear some of your reactions. You can do that now by dialing our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. It's going to be there for 2 years, and you will have certainly ample opportunity to see it if you haven't. But again, if you have, we'd like to hear from you. And you can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or our Facebook page, or tweet us, our Twitter handle, @KQEDForum. And here is artist Leo Villarreal, who we were speaking about just a moment ago with Ben Davis, talking about his process. He spoke with KQED news reporter Cy Musiker.
For me, it's all about discovery, figuring out what it can do. And I don't know in advance, and there's a lot of chance and randomness in my process. So I'm here to make discoveries.
And he also talks about being inspired by the patterns of the environment of the Bay.
But all these things you find in nature. And as an artist, I can use these equations and rules as material and really just play with them. So I'm here looking for something exciting or compelling to happen, waiting for it to surprise me. And when that does happen, I capture that moment, and that becomes part of the mix.
And Amy Critchett, something exciting and compelling has happened here, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, talk about how this was brought off. I mean, let's talk money for, because the goal was, what, about $8 million to get this in place?
And yes.
You've raised most of it, haven't you?
We've raised a little bit more than six.
Which is good. And a lot of it come from Silicon Valley, huh?
Well, it's all privately funded, and the majority through individual patrons.
Individual patrons, names which would be recognized, like Marissa Mayer and Ron Conway. And
absolutely, absolutely.
Who's the guy who invented Gmail? He's in this too, isn't he?
Paul Buchheit,
that's right. So private financing, and we're talking about something that's actually going to add to the local economy. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So early on in the process, we had an independent study done of the potential economic impact of the Bay Lights. And the numbers that were crunched that came back was potentially up around $97 million through tourism dollars. And but we really don't know. We'll see. We started last night. We got 2 years to find out.
Well, again, I'd be interested in hearing not only those of you who happen to see it, but what you think about this. This is 5 miles of public art right on the Bay Bridge, right literally under our noses, and many people quite excited about it. And has there been any of this, oh, why are you only doing it for 2 years, or couldn't it last longer, or maybe the money should have been raised for other, you know, more important social kinds of projects, those sorts of things?
Well, both of those conversations actually certainly have come up. At our press conference yesterday, Mayor Lee proclaimed that 2 years was not going to be enough. But we know what our permit says, which says March 2015, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, I should add that, you know, it's an ephemeral installation. 2 years is the number on the permit, and that may be extendable a bit if there's enough community will to make that happen. But we're living on a piece of real infrastructure, and that infrastructure has maintenance needs, and part of that is rust prevention, and that includes painting. And so eventually the bridge is going to need to be painted. Probably 5 years out would be the maximum time this particular configuration could live on that bridge.
Well, the idea of all the computer technology that was behind this and all of those lights being literally screwed in there, I mean, it kind of takes the breath away a bit. I'm really interested in finding out what listeners have to say about it. This is a very ambitious installation. In fact, you might want to just comment. This is, I had mentioned public art. I alluded to public art, and some of you may want to comment on public art in general. You know, you think about the gates in Central Park or the waterfalls and all these projects that are certainly right here in San Francisco Bay Area, and that really, well, we've done shows on public art, but I'm always interested in hearing what listeners have to say, particularly if you have something to say about this particular project of public art, but public art in general. Again, I would invite you to call us. This is a segment that will be over in only about 20 minutes or more, so if you saw it, I want to know what you saw and what you thought you saw, and have you describe it to us. Aesthetically uplifting, elevating, how did it affect you? And what'd you think of it? Again, you can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or simply email us, forum@kqed.org. And there are calls and emails coming in here, and we'll go to them shortly in a moment. But what would you like to see the public get out of this, both of you?
Joy, inspiration, the understanding that the impossible is actually possible. I mean, in what we accomplished in making this piece happen is just the beginning of what we think the community can make of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is should shine as a beacon of generosity. It's really what made this project happen, people coming together. And it's an incredibly accessible work. You know, whether you want to fly in from Australia or simply for the cost of BART fare, bring your family in from El Cerrito, you're going to have top of the line contemporary art experience.
You getting an exodus from down under? Is that what
we are. You know, this was voted as ranked as the number one thing to see in the world in 2013 by Hemispheres magazine before it was 2 months before it even went up. Yeah. It's an amazing work. It's also accessible in the nature of the work. You know, Leo's algorithms, the nature of light, the nature of scale. Whether you're a toddler, or a senior citizen, or anyone in between, you can have a relationship to the work.
And there is capitalizing on this. I mean, you're talking about people coming from all over the world, but I mean, boat cruises have increased. The restaurant views are playing this up. I mean, people are taking advantage of it just from a standpoint of the money to be made.
You know, that the $97 million that was conservatively predicted really looked just extended hotel stays. I think we're just going to smash all those records to smithereens. I really do, over the course of 2 years. You talked about the gates in Central Park. It took 21 years to produce. This took from the moment of conception to the time it went live and was born last night, a little less than 2.5 years. It's a tribute to our community that it happened that quickly. That piece cost $1.3 million per day of the 15 days it was up. This piece will cost about $11,000 per night. The gates raised $250 million for New York City in 15 days. We have 2 years to see what's going to happen here in San Francisco.
Again, Ben Davis is with us in studio as chairman of Illuminate the Arts, and Amy Critchett is also with us in studio, and she's executive director of Illuminate the Arts, and they're a nonprofit that presents public art, including the Bay Lights, and we're talking about the Bay Lights. Here's a listener, Alex, says, I saw it last night. This is really a great installation. What do you think the chances are that we can keep it up permanently? I think this could really become an iconic part of what San Francisco is known for. It seems a shame to take it down once it's up. Getting a lot of the sentiments, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
We are.
And you can also see we have a live stream every night on thebaylights.org. So part of the experiment is to create a global audience around this particular piece of public art.
Well, we asked our listeners on Facebook to play Art Critic and share their thoughts on the Bay Lights, and here are some responses. Miranda writes, not cool for the Bay Lights to be completely not visible from Oakland and for very little of the rapturous coverage to mention that.
You know, I can understand that perspective. This is a piece of art. It's first and foremost, though, needs to be safe in the eyes of California Highway Patrol and Caltrans. And the way the nodes have to face if you're on that upper deck means they're facing towards the population density of San Francisco. You know, it's a beautiful work of art. The Mona Lisa is a beautiful work of art, too, but they have to hang in locations and they can't hang everywhere at once.
You're comparing this to the Mona Lisa.
I think Leo's a terrific artist. And I think while this is different in the sense that it's more like a digital campfire, as Leo describes it, it's more communal. It is a piece of contemporary art.
Well, here's Leo talking about this Bay Area landmark.
You don't want to mess with, you know, I feel like a lot of respect for it. I don't want to mess with it. I want to add something and augment what's here. These are the icons of the Bay Area, the bridges. And I think there's also a honesty and integrity to the piece. That's very similar to what the bridge is like. I've done a couple of cable walks and gone to the top of the bridge and was amazed at how efficient it all is.
Well, let me read some more comments here. Richard says, many of us, over 1,000, gathered on Treasure Island to view this event Tuesday night. Initially, we all assumed the lights did not come on and started to leave. It was only after getting much closer to the bridge and reducing the viewing angle that it became apparent the only viewable location was the San Francisco Embarcadero. As a supporter of the arts in my community, it strikes me that the design of the project limiting the view area isn't really public art.
You know, the regional transit system is almost designed to deliver you to the Embarcadero here. So,
like you said, it's where you stand, it's where you look. And here's somebody who says, I saw the light show from Sausalito, but goes on to say, I was disappointed. Apart from the weather factors, it was barely visible. The traditional deck, bridge, and pier lights are more impressive. Perhaps they should just flip those on occasionally during tourist season and send San Francisco the bill.
That's great.
Well, we'll get some more comments here. Cherry says, of course we can see the bridge very plainly. The new lights provide a gauzy, changing structure traveling up and down and back and forth across the four triangles, eight counting the north side. We can't discern individual shapes among the vertical cords, but it's pretty. Valerie says, my concerns are the problems with migrating and local bird populations who are killed by the hundreds every day due to night lighting. I do not know if the parties who installed the lights ever considered this aspect of the project. Would you please ask them, and if they didn't consider it before, would they now? Yeah,
we worked closely with all the different environmental requirements and groups to make sure that before we were permitted, that we were well within the very important attributes of.
Are you concerned
bird
about
safety.
Bird safety?
Well, there certainly was, and we addressed it through the lights themselves. And
so you feel you're on firm ground here where the bird population is concerned now?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Let me go to our callers, and we begin with Adele. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I saw it. We weren't there last night, but a couple of weeks ago, my husband and I were driving along the Embarcadero and didn't know what we were seeing, but we were thrilled. We didn't know what it was. So when we finally heard about it, I think it's great. I think it's fabulous. I think the Bay Bridge has always been a workhorse and deserves it.
Okay. Thank you, Adele. Good to hear from you. Let me hear from some more of our listeners. Let's go to Mike next. Mike, you're on.
Yes, thank you. We were there last night in the cold rain, and it was such a celebration. Everybody was super excited about it. But I was curious as to why the artist is only using white and not using any color, because the LED technology is there.
Yeah, that's a question I'm happy to address. In the early conversations I had with Leo, there was discussions about the obvious metaphors of a bridge, you know, what it means, the mobility, the connectivity, but also about the need for elegance in the structure and the fact that it was designed for the diamond anniversary of the Bay Bridge. And we also were keeping contextually in mind the introduction of the new East Span, which will be happening in September of this year, which has a primarily white lighting scheme. All of those things really influence the artist's decision to move into that realm of just white, that elegance that we see on the bridge right now.
You would have rather seen color, Mike?
It would be beautiful to see lots of colors, but and it'd be nice if we could change it for the Giants and for the 49ers and whatnot, because the city really comes together when the colors are there. But it is very beautiful, and I'm thankful to live here with that. So.
Well, thank you for the call. And here's Thomas, who writes, I love the LED Bay Bridge piece, and I'm a San Francisco artist, and I'd like to know how I could submit a light design concept for broadcast onto the Bay Bridge LED lights. How would I go about this?
We live in a time when there seems to be an irresistible impulse if something is digital to make it open source, and I appreciate it. I'm part of that movement. But this work is coming through really with 100% artistic integrity. It shows in the work, and the intention with this work in this particular context is to treat it as such. So it's not this place where we're going to have a lot of open exploration. It's a work of art by Leo Villarreal. And that's what it shall be until it's gone.
And I should mention that those of you listening who have not seen this or are listening far away or don't have access or whatever, you can see a video on our website of the Bay Lights simply by going to kqed.org. And let me go to more of your calls. We get Rima on from Santa Rosa. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
We're right here waiting with bated breath for you to speak to us. Yes.
I was just going to add that it's really exciting that the lights are on, and I can't wait to take my kids to see it. I think it's a fabulous idea. It will bring more business to the city, tourism, and from local, from around California as well, and from all over the world.
Thank you for that. And let me get another caller on. Nancy, hi.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Nancy from Sebastopol.
Yeah, go
and
ahead.
I'm another of the people who didn't actually go to see the bridge, and I specifically didn't go to see the bridge because I was very very affected by the PBS documentary a couple of weeks ago on the damage that the night sky is doing both to migratory animal populations and to humans. It was quite disturbing. And I gather from your guest's response to the last person who asked this question that she's basically just blowing the question off. I don't have the impression that there was much consideration or discussion with Audubon or any specific environmental groups about animal populations that are affected by all this additional light.
Amy, did you talk to Audubon or other animal groups, environmental groups?
Yeah. Indeed. We worked closely with Wildlife, Fish and Game. And it was a combination of conversations about migration as well as nesting. And we had a body of, through Caltrans, all of their key environmental specialists. We had an independent agency that we worked with. And we had several long forums around this topic specifically.
And again, you weren't blowing the question off. You just sounds like you feel rest assured everything's going to be okay.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you say what to that, Nancy?
Yes, I would just say that that Caltrans and the NGO organizations that that they may have spoken to are not the environmental organizations that I would put a lot of credence in personally.
But you mentioned Audubon. She said they spoke with Audubon.
Well, I would be interested in exactly how that conversation went.
Do you want to add anything, Amy?
I'd be happy to have this conversation at any time.
Okay. You're invited, Nancy, and thank you for calling us. Here's Charles who says, has anything been done to prevent someone from hacking into the computer that controls the lights if someone wanted to reprogram them with their own message?
Absolutely. We have a very secure computer network that is tied specifically to the bridge, and we've worked very, very hard to keep it that way.
Let's just call it hacker resistant. Those guys are, they're persistent.
Don't even tempt them.
I think the fact that it's there is a temptation. But we've taken really great steps and measures. If you're going to have to break a hell of a lot of federal laws to get to the point where you can start to hack this thing.
Here's Anna who says, I work at the Slanted Door restaurant in the Ferry Building. I absolutely love the piece. I see that it has brought in lots of business. Slanted Door doesn't have any problem, I don't think, in that area. But she also says, and it gives the atmosphere a peaceful, surreal feel, giving one the sense of being underwater or in the clouds. Lydia writes, I love the lights. Had out-of-town visitors this weekend, age 17 to 62. Thrilled to stumble on the display Saturday night from the Embarcadero. Test runs, but wonderful. A lot of people did see the tests, obviously. Parked, watched until they ended. Watched again Sunday night from the top of Coy Tower. Not as impressive because the altitude makes for lights in the background, but still very cool. The show is mesmerizing the way fireworks are. Also love both of those, but spectacular for its expanse and particularly its silence. And Eric says, I call it lights on a bridge. What makes this art and the light pollution in Vegas not art? I think that may be a rhetorical question. Let me get another caller on, and that's you, Jack. Hi.
Hi. I'm an artist and a former art instructor, and I was just wondering if you considered how much how many artists could have been affected with that $2 million award if you'd broken it up into like $10,000 increments and spread the wealth.
You know, it's funny. This project cost $8 million to get up, and a lot of that's just labor. It's guys hanging off the side of the bridge in the middle of the night. This is a completely privately funded project, and it's actually based on a culture of generosity that looks to expand outward and create many more opportunities for other artists. So, Illuminate the Arts, the organization which I chair, it's our hope to continue to inspire great amounts of opportunity in giving to other arts organizations, and let this be a beacon for generosity, and let the waterfront and all of San Francisco and really beyond be inspired by this work and let other artists shine as well.
But I think the tenor, as I'm listening to you, Jack, is that maybe this money could have been Johnny Appleseed, a lot of starving or quasi-starving artists out there could have benefited from, huh? Jack, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tenor of your call, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Because there are so many artists who, you know, if they had $5,000, it could pay for studios for them to work in, or if they had $5,000, it would pay for materials. You would sponsor so many artists, and I'm not trying to disparage the contribution of this artist, but I mean, I just think that the money could be spread a lot further and affect a lot more artists.
You know, I hear you, Jack. I live with an artist. I am an artist. I think, though, it's a false choice that all artists are tugging on the same dollar. The reality is if we create energy around art, more money and resources will flow to the arts. That's what this project is about, and I think you'll see it happen.
And, Jack, thank you for the call. You mentioned, Ben, the guys working up there in the middle of the night installing lights. I mean, talk about that for a moment, because it's not exactly easy work, and it did employ a lot of people.
It did. I mean, maybe, Amy, you can talk a little bit about that. Those guys, to me, are heroic. The teams involved in making this happen, you know, Zune Engineering, Blaco Incorporated, Parsons Brinkerhoff, particularly Blaco, you know, they know how to work in this tough, tough environment and do it in a very safe way. And so you'd go up there where they could only work in the middle of the night, really mostly from 11 o'clock a.m., excuse me, p.m. to 5 o'clock a.m., you know, the harshest of conditions. And to see those guys do this night upon night and to create this stunning experience, and also to, you know what, their hearts became invested in this work. They really feel a sense of connection. It's amazing.
Well, can you give a little bit of history of light art? I mean, is this a fairly new form of public art, or is it growing in popularity?
Well, I think, you know, LEDs are sort of taking the world by storm. I think this work, though, achieves a really beautiful, sublime trifecta. It is light in the night sky. It has the, you know, sublime nature of scale and then the nature of Leo's work. It really distinguishes itself from other illuminated icons like the Eiffel Tower or the Bosphorus Bridge in Istanbul, which really look like lighted icons as opposed to a piece of contemporary art that just happens to live on this 1.8-mile span that so many of us can see in the Bay Area.
And here's Shirley, who says, I was there at Ferry Plaza last night when the lights went live. I couldn't take my eyes off the sparkling lights, even in the rain. The Bay Bridge is now the venue of one of the most beautiful public art projects in the Bay Area. Public art is essential. It uplifts one's spirit, makes us proud to live in the Bay Area. And Nora says, when we travel abroad, we enjoy public art very much and talk about how little there is in the U.S. This installation is bold and impressive. Listening to the criticisms, especially by those who have not seen the installation, calls to my mind the phrase, no good deeds go unpunished. Here's Hale, who said, I'd like to view the Bay Lights from high up. Do the guests have suggestions for high rises, which are good possibilities?
Yeah, just about any one. You know, stand at the Embarcadero and look up. There's the Millennium Towers, the Infinity Towers, the Rincon Tower, on and on it goes. I've been privileged enough to be in a few of those places, not really since the installation has been up. I'm looking for those cocktail party invitations, people. But I want to see this work. I think like a lot of people will. You can't see it in one night. You know, you need to take a trip to Water Bar. You need to find your way out to Pier 39. You need to find yourself at the top of Coit Tower in Sausalito. And you need to feel it in lots of different ways. It's so exciting. And it's different in each one of those views.
And the patterns will never repeat. It's never the same show twice. Right?
You know, completely non-repeating. And then if you add in atmospheric light conditions, if you add in weather conditions such as fog and rain, you know, I can't stand being away from it.
Well, and Ben Davis, if anybody's interested, is looking for cocktail party invitations. let me go to a caller here.
We're
Jeff.
Still raising money, too. I warn people, so watch out.
Hey, Jeff, join us. Hi. Jeff, are you there? No? Okay, then I'll go to another caller in Half Moon Bay. Greg, you're there. Hi.
Good morning. It's Drake, actually, and congratulations on the program. Just I've read some of the postings and heard the comments about if we just sent the money in this other way, $5,000 for an artist or the light bill. Sometimes it's not just about a one-to-one artist comparison. It's about the entire Bay Area, and it's not just about this month or this week. It's about, you know, for the next several years. And I think what Villarreal and Dorca Keene have done here is just magnificent. And I think we should think about it in the terms of the whole community and not just necessarily the false choice of what one single artist might get for the $5,000 if it was spread across that many artists.
Well, you've just stated the whole ethos of public art, really, haven't you?
Yep. Thank you for your program.
Yeah, no, thank you for those comments. Appreciate hearing from you. What do you want people to know about seeing it, experiencing it, I mean, before we close off here?
Well, we definitely want
Amy Critchett.
We want people to know that we are also experimenting with the impact of the project, and go to thebaylights.org and you can see the way we stream it, we archive it, we have a gallery of images that that people are producing themselves on Instagram. And we really look forward to having fun these next couple of years.
And again, you can go to our website and see it, kqed.org. Time for one more call. Judith, that's you. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling from beautiful Telegraph Hill in San Francisco, and I have probably the best seat in town here. I see the bridge. I've been watching it for the last month, so I've seen it with clouds in the morning and the dawn. It's beautiful, and I think it's going to be great for the city and bring a lot of people here and really highlight the joys of public art.
Oh, thank you, Judith. I want to get Edgar. Can we get you on for a second here?
Yeah, I just wondered: is everybody aware that it's visible every night on the nightly news on KGO in the background.
That's a big plug for KGO News.
I listen to KQED mostly. But
yeah, we'll stay in that position, but you can certainly view it there. And thank you for that call. We have to wrap things up. Thanks, Ben Davis. Thanks, Amy Critchett. Good to have you both here. Congratulations. Forums produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Howard Gelman. And our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and executive producer Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.